Recorded live at Talks and Tasting Studios, it's the Clerical Errors Podcast, the podcast that shows you what's behind the collar. Let's go.
From the Talks and Tasting Studios, this is the Clerical Errors Podcast, the podcast that shows you
what's behind the collar.
This is Bullhagen.
This is Berg.
And this is Vicar.
No Peter today, which always is a little interesting. We might go a little off the rails. We don't have our producer keeping us on track. We will do our best, dear listener. Vicar brought a new drink.
Yeah. My wife got me for my birthday some Ardbeg.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've got that this evening. It's not the normal OA, I think it is. It's some different variation called Wee Beastie.
Oh, that one's good. Yeah.
Do you know if you rearrange those letters, it's the same name as our podcast mom, almost.
Yeah.
Weird. Peter, that's where you play the X-Files music.
I was just thinking that.
And I have a San Pellegrino flavored water left over from one of our meals when I made pizza. I make pizza for one of our Lenten meals, and I kind of go overboard.
It was good pizza.
Yeah, but I got some left over, and it's delicious. Nice. You got anything, Berg?
I am drinking a beer, which is kind of weird for me. Called Against the Grain. It's a 35K stout beer. So it says, wiggity woo, we're putting in a swimming pool, and if there's enough left over, we're going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate it. This is not your typical jelly of the month club milk stout. This stout is silky, smooth, and sweet, and it's worth the 35K, but you can only have a little because the rest is ours. So...
there you go. We should do that as a service. If anybody has a brewery and they need help writing a description of their beer, we can help you.
Yeah, right into
and
the show.
I can't even drink beer unless it's corn beer, but we'll do that for you for a nominal fee.
Well, I think we should have a shout out then to one of our greatest supporters here in Wyoming, Arcola Whiskey, the Spirit of Wyoming. They love the show, and they're still trying to send Peter some samples, but things are just not working out very well. So,
yes,
in true Clerical Errors fashion,
the Spirit of Wyoming doesn't quite reach this far. Apparently,
it's getting stronger all the time.
So, how was the beer, Berg?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hopefully, I won't pay for it later, but that's the risk you take.
Yeah, some of those more yeasty beers they'll work on you for a little bit.
I just can't take the gluten like what I used to, so.
Yeah. And how is your whiskey there, your Scotch whiskey?
It's good. It's got quite a bit of a bite to it, which I wasn't expecting. I've had the original Ardbeg before, but this is really good. I like it.
Yeah, I just had some of that the other day, and I thought it was really awesome. I want to say the proof is higher, though, right?
I think that's the difference, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just a higher proof.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that 40%, that 80 proof. Anything more than that gets a little, bitey, like you said.
Yeah, it's almost too much of a novelty once it gets above like 80. It's it's fine, every couple months or whatever, but not every time.
To me, it depends on probably, you see, I like the devil's cut of the Jim Beam, which is a little higher, and it's just delicious. But, with that, it's less of a sipping bourbon.
Yes.
It makes a difference.
Yeah.
If you're just there sipping it, then, if you're in for the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, this isn't meant to be mixed with, like, Coca-Cola, right? Quite like the Devil's Cut is.
Not the Devil's Cut. No. You wouldn't do that. I'm offended. So, Vicar, what am I preaching on?
You are preaching on John chapter 6. It's where Jesus gets out of the boat and he's still attracted quite a large crowd and he's teaching them. And as he's teaching them, it gets later in the day. So he sees everyone's getting hungry, has the disciples figure out how much money they have, where they can go to get food. And they figure out, well, they don't have enough to buy for everybody. So they take up rations among themselves, find out that there's only a few loaves and some fish. So Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish, feeds the 5,000,
mm-hmm.
and then it cuts off there. So it's just the narrative of the 5,000.
So I'm trying to figure out where this fits in
mm-hmm.
with Lent. I should have it in front of me.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like the third Sunday in Advent. It's kind of a refreshment Sunday. And so Latare means to rejoice, like rejoice, O Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
And mm-hmm. so this is kind of like the Sunday where it's like, you know, when you're going on a roller coaster, you get mm-hmm. to like the top deal and you're like, ah, this is kind of nice. And then it's like,
mm-hmm.
next week is going to be like, bam, they want to kill Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of like the deep breath before the plunge.
The eye of the storm.
Indeed.
Right? Hey, let's this is a neat experiment. What are some other things that are like that? It's kind of like, I don't know. The eye of the storm, man. All right, so.
That moment before you start watching the Meg 2.
That's right. That's right. So what are some things that we could bring from this? Well, one is, obviously, if with any miracle, you can talk about what miracles do and how he shows he is a son of God. You can show how he feeds those who have gathered to hear God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You see how, and I was actually thinking about this today. I was thinking about, and I don't know if this necessarily relates to the text, but this is what I was thinking about. Do you know how people think Christianity is, in a way, too easy? And even theologians run into this where they don't want to say that, talk about receiving it by grace. They want to have some sort of a synergism or rejecting infant baptism, or in some way, the gospel is too easy.
Right, yeah.
And this is what I was thinking about. I was thinking about the fact that just because it is by grace alone and not something we can work for or earn, it doesn't in any way make the Christian life any easier. And then the reason why I think of it in terms of this text is the fact that here it was a gracious gift, right?
Right, yeah.
God, through his son, fed those who came to hear God's word. But as it ended up, it's that became a point of contention. Like, feeding people became a source of conflict. Like,
that's exactly what he deals with after this, right? He goes
yes.
and argues with the Pharisees about this.
And so just because the Christian life offers freely the gift of life and salvation without any kind of earning, and just like here, you have an instance where Jesus feeds, he gives a gift. Those who reject the word of God, reject the gospel, find it a way to make it more difficult. And so I think people think when they think of the Christian life, they say, well, it's too easy, this gospel thing. God is already pleased through Jesus. Well, then what's the point of striving? But
that's kind of an antinomian view of what Christ did, right? That instead of fulfilling the law, he abolished the law. I mean, yes, Christ died for us on our behalf, but the law, the Decalogue, still stands.
Yeah.
So you can't just get rid of it.
Right, right. But and then what I'm getting at is, two, one, the reason why you battle with sin is a little different through
yes.
the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fact that if you believe that that is the word of God and the words of Christ, and the gospel brings forgiveness of sins through the death of Jesus, and the world, the sinful world, crucified him, just as Jesus says, you know, the servant isn't above the master,
mm-hmm.
Referring to how this is something the disciples will face, this is something the believers will face. The Christian life then, by virtue of that gospel, becomes a difficult thing from those who reject it. And so if you're thinking, well, the Christianity is too easy, or it's too simple, or it makes life too easy, just the opposite is true in the sense of taking his words to heart and believing it in the sinful world actually makes things more difficult. So that's what I was thinking about today.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a pretty good start on.
Yes, devoted listeners, I do have deep thoughts once in a while.
Rock on.
What do you got? Anything, Berg?
I mean, you could play with that old phrase, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. I mean, the disciples don't get it. The people don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus does it anyway.
This is the one where they wanted to make him a bread king.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end, they sought to make him king.
And so that's another aspect of it is they saw Jesus as a way of making their earthly life better, which isn't the case.
Right. Yeah. They saw him setting up an earthly kingdom, right? Just like a lot of the other, I mean, like the Pharisees and Sadducees thought the Messiah would be set up a military sort of reign to take care of the people of Israel.
A golden goose.
Yeah. A golden goose, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you could even talk about it today with the, what are they called? Oral Roberts came up with it. It was a seed planting plan or program, right? Where, well, send me the biggest bill you have or write the biggest check you can, and God will necessarily make you rich and your life will be awesome.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that a lot over the years where it's an investment.
Yeah, just sow a seed into our ministry and God will bless you richly, right?
Right. Right. And he does bless you in the sense of when he causes you to realize that you are more than the money that you have and the items in your life, and you can willingly give it up and give it to a cause that is greater than anything that you can offer with your earthly hands. Well, then, hey, that's living.
Right.
I mean, you know? another tact you could take is that God is not just the God of the soul, but he's the God of the body. Jesus is not, you know, I mean, that would be another one, right? And mm-hmm. yet everything has to be in its proper place, right? What is more important than the body, the soul, right?
Yeah, but I think every pastor understands that there are times there where I almost feel like I'm in the healthcare industry. You know what I mean? Where you know, you have a particular where you have a lot of people not doing well or a lot of people having surgeries or that kind of thing. And that's when you go see people, you know, what's wrong with someone today? Now, granted, that's not the only time we visit people.
That's the majority of the time people visited, right? Yeah.
Right. I mean.
Well, I mean, you could also say that the body and the soul are intimately connected in that regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Elijah do when, you know, what did God do for Elijah when Elijah was like, oh God, I'm no better than my fathers. Just let me die. Elijah needed a snack and a nap.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it seems trite, but it's true. I mean, like, if you're sick, you're not probably going to be all that optimistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The body has influence on the soul. The soul also has influences on the body.
Mm-hmm. And this is why it's important, for example, for pastors to take care of yourselves during Lent.
Exactly. Or yeah, like
just in general.
Yeah, just in general, right? I mean, like, that's another thing, right? Is, well, think about exorcisms. You know, we should actually be working pretty closely with physicians and psychologists to see if these things have physical and or spiritual causes. Or if they don't, maybe that person is actually being afflicted by the devil.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I'm thinking of something else. I was thinking Romans 5, but that was earlier in Lent, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Lent 2, I think.
Okay, that was Lent 2. Yeah, but where it talks about suffering. And it begins the discussion on suffering with, since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Mm-hmm. Thus, we can rejoice in our suffering. The tie-in there that Paul makes with suffering and the gospel and how the gospel answers the moment of suffering. But like Berg was mentioning, the reason why we see people in the hospital in times of suffering is that's when they, particularly in that weakness, need to hear God's word. When they're vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
where they might be thinking, why is God mad at me? Or when someone's dying in that moment of weakness, what do they need to hear? The gospel, because the devil seeks all sorts of different ways to rob them of their hope and keep them from dying in peace with the Lord Jesus. And because there is a tie between those two. You see this in Genesis chapter 3. What is it that God says after the fall into sin, what's going to happen to their bodies? Well, one, they will surely die. Two, childbirth will be hard for the woman and the land curse that by his work will affect his own body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all tied.
I think you could also play on the fact that this happens when the Passover is near. And, you know, one part of your sermon could be talking about how the Passover and this feeding are the same, but also how Passover and this feeding are different.
Right.
In that, I would really focus on the bread. You know, what was the point of the leavened bread, of the unleavened bread?
Haste.
You know, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, right? You know, let us keep the feast not in the leaven of, not in the old leaven, not in the leaven of malice or wickedness, but in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth,
mm-hmm.
which they actually cast out and pass over the Passover lamb in this. Even though he is feeding both their souls and their bodies, they mistake him for something else. And mm-hmm. instead, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. They want a bread king.
And later on, the connection is made between this gift of bread and the manna that came from heaven, and how this bread fills for everlasting. And when it became a bread king, they were in the manna, they became quickly dissatisfied with that. So
yeah, it's funny how they complain in the wilderness. They're like, and isn't it funny how Christians do this too? We're so irrational. They're like, well, we don't have anything to eat, and we hate this loathsome manna.
Right. Right.
But God still bears with us. That's,
you know what's funny about that is the fact that I think of, and I remember this as a kid, studying this as a child, right, looking at this, and it does give you pause about complaining about your food as a kid when you realize, oh, that really isn't that different than what was going on there. I don't know. I think we kind of gloss over that a little bit.
Well, and then when God finally does offer them quail, he's like, you're going to eat so much of it that it's going to come out of your noses. Like, sometimes a gift is enormous prayers, which heaven in vengeance grants, I guess.
It's kind of like the food co-op at the seminary, right? I remember.
We hate this loathsome like, chicken.
Right. Or I think when I was there, it was like they had this healthy choice lentil soup that they just must have gotten a whole shipment on. And, you know, by the way, they couldn't even give it away.
See, I love lentil soup. Man.
But it was healthy choice lentil soup.
Well, have you seen the seminary?
Yes.
Some of them do need the healthy choice.
Right. Yeah. Was it the comedian who talked about his sister had her stomach stapled to the buffet?
Yeah, no, she had a belly ring. And she's like, do you see
she
my belly
have
ring?
An onion ring?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, so, you know, she's like, do you like my belly ring? And yeah, so we can pull you away from the buffet.
All right. Well, Peter, this is a point where Peter would say,
let's move on.
Let's move on, fellas. Right. So I have a top 12 list.
Peter, play the intro.
Enough nonsense. It's time for Bullhagen's Top 12.
All right. So what I have for us today is we're right in the heart of Lent. Now, Berg said that this Sunday is a time where we kind of catch our breath. And it's also a good time to take stock, okay? And what I mean by that is everyone right now listening should be somewhere in their midweek Lenten journey. Right? Everyone has a series that they're doing. It's kind of funny. At our Winkle, this is true. It was what, the Tuesday before Lent, maybe?
Yeah.
Right. And I asked what you guys are doing for Lent, and the majority of them said they had no idea yet.
Yeah. Ash Wednesday was the next day.
So
yikes.
So I had Vicar give them, this is what I'm doing. So that being said, I have, so that the listener doesn't have to, I scoured the internet for bad Lenten series. Now, I have a purpose behind this, okay? One is to be thankful for the Lenten series that you're listening to, right? But also to maybe put our thinking caps on, because what I would like to do is discuss maybe how we can make it better. And actually, I'm an optimist. Let's go, well, how can we make this worse? And then how can we make this theme better? Does that sound fair?
Sounds great.
All right.
Wouldn't it be funny if you like hit on a theme that one of our listeners is actually going through right now?
Right.
Awkward.
Yeah, that's right. Doing the Iowa passive aggressive. And, you know, Pastor, I've been listening to this podcast. You should listen to this one. It's very nice.
Especially this episode. I really like this one.
This particular one is fantastic.
Around right. Minute 23, 42 seconds.
There you go.
Number 12.
Go green for Lent. So Lent's a purple, right?
Yeah.
So they will want to go green for Lent. What do you think they mean by that?
Well, certainly not that it's the common season.
Right, right. It's taking the time to consider how we can be more eco-friendly. Now, I'm all for taking care of, you know, everything. God made us stewards. But I struggle with that one because I think everybody kind of wants to take care of what we have in our land and that kind of thing.
Just visit Cheyenne. There are people there who do not want to take care of anything.
Okay, fair enough. So maybe in some places that would be.
Yeah, some places do need to hear that, but it is really context driven.
Yeah, but here's the thing is if you're entitling it Go Green for Lent, this is the issue, is there's some debate on how actually what is good for the world and the environment.
Well, fair enough, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like are electric cars better for the environment?
Okay, let's
maybe,
just
maybe, I don't know.
Let's just even take it a step back from that. What does being eco-friendly have to do with Jesus?
Well, he is the Lord of all creation, and as his creatures, we should take care of the things that he has given to us.
But going green for Lent. I mean, if you wanted to change it to all creation groans.
Yes.
Then you can like hit our sinfulness that creation actually is groaning under the corruption that we placed on it, that wild beasts are a punishment from God, you know, those kind of things, sickness, sin, all that kind of thing, natural disasters, you know, and then how Christ redeems that. Okay, great, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that the whole green movement right now seems to give the impression that the end of the world is in our hands. When is it? I mean, Jesus already said that the world is dying, so.
Yeah, he had a lovely little thing about that where he says, you know, where the corpse is, there the vultures gather. Did I tell you I actually preached a sermon on that once?
Really?
Yeah.
A wedding sermon?
No, not a wedding sermon. I'm not that bold. But, you know,
I know someone
basically
who is.
I do too. I heard it. but I actually named the different vultures, and I'm like, this vulture is this sign of the end. This vulture, you know.
Hey, that's kind of nice.
I did what I could, you know.
It's very creative.
I'm pretty rad like that, Vicar.
So we've already discovered the way to make it better. All creation groans.
Mm-hmm.
What a way this could actually be worse? So if someone is going through this, well, at least it's not, you know, go rainbow for Lent, maybe?
I'm trying to think. You know, you could sing as you're opening hymn, the earth is our mother, we should take care of her.
That's true.
There you go.
Yes. There you go. We made it worse.
Number 11.
Lent in an era of resistance.
I don't know if that one wasn't so bad, but...
Well, let me finish.
You have to explain this one more.
Let him cook.
It had a picture of Star Wars. So it was...
What happens if I say the Empire wasn't wrong?
Say, what if the good guys weren't the good guys?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Just on a one level without getting to the theology of it, because I think there's some things you can play with that.
Yeah.
But like not everyone likes Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. Not everyone's seen Star Wars.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, half the congregation is Star Wars. Half the congregation is going to be Star Trek.
That's right.
And then what do you do?
Let's call the whole thing off.
Do you think the liturgy says, may the force be with you?
Only on May 4th.
And also with you. Yeah. So I guess maybe an error of resistance. I mean, there's some things you can actually talk about.
Well, I mean, Lent as resistance, right? And then, like, mm-hmm. you could do every Sunday, like, you know, for Lent 1 with the temptation, right? You could have for your text from 1 Peter, right? You know, resisting the devil firm in your faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or for Remus Curiae on prayer, you could have for the midweek, Jesus teaches them to pray so that they don't lose heart, the persistent widow, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 3, you could do another demon thing, you know, probably from Revelation or whatever, right? Or, you know, we were not against flesh and blood, but et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So if you like take the Star Wars thing out, there's a lot of ways you can go. I was thinking of maybe resistance training, you know?
Yeah, you're getting the weights back in for one of our super fans, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I don't know what else to say about this. But what do you got, Vicar? You're kind of a nerd.
Thank you for that. I mean, Disney uncanonized or decanonized all of the literature surrounding it, so I don't even know what's canon anymore. So.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Yeah.
I mean, you could say that as Christians, you know, we live in the world, which is sort of an evil empire, right? What does resistance look like for us? Is it actually being terrorists? Is it taking up arms? Or does that mean something different for a Christian?
Yeah, that's a good discussion.
I mean, like, that would be one way of doing it. But then I'm a little worried about the other side of that, because we don't want to be Mennonites. We don't want to be Amish. That God still works through evil empires.
Yes.
So you could always do the resistance of Daniel and the 3 young men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could actually focus on the book of Daniel and how the prince of Persia resisted the Lord Jesus for 21 days. I mean, you know, that would be a pretty interesting one to kind of flesh out maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think that would... So maybe I'm turning on this one. Maybe it was just the Star Wars picture.
Probably. Because there is kind of an interesting dichotomy going on, because you could go one way and say, well, you know, our flesh resists against what God has made us to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
With our sinfulness. But at the same time, God has redeemed us, and so now we must resist against those sinful desires. So there's a talk on repentance and what it actually means and what all it entails.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Number 10.
Hands of the Passion. I suppose, you know, you got the Roman soldiers' hands. You got, obviously, Jesus' hands.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? I'm not sure all the hands that there are. They have maybe the guy...
Pilate's hand washing?
Hand washing, right? It's kind of gimmicky, you know?
Yeah.
You got people, like, raising their hand. Hey! Hands whipping him. Right.
Maybe the centurion who said, surely this was the Son of God?
Right.
Him pointing towards Jesus? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you could do loving hands when they take him down from the cross.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, that's just kind of weird.
The thing is, it like takes something that's not really the point of it and like focusing on like some minutia. But, you know, yeah. I can understand, you know, really, speaking as a pastor, it is kind of hard year after year after year to come up with a Lenten series that's interesting. You know, that's why I have the vicar do it every year.
Well, but, and what you could do is stealing hands, condemning hands, and then God's hands, or killing mm-hmm. hands, God's hands, loving hands.
No. Oh.
Because stealing hands would be Judas Iscariot, condemning hands, the Sanhedrin, right. Killing hands, the Romans, God's hands, and then this is where you bring it all together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then loving hands, okay, this is what Christ has done for us, right? And even though faith seems pretty dead among them and they seem despairing, what do? They lovingly bury him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. Still, it rubs me the wrong way. But
yeah. By the way, I want to say something. While I was doing my research, yes, I did research, and thank you. I learned that, maybe you knew this already, Berg, that beavers, muskrats, and capybaras are not considered meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they're considered fish.
There you go.
So that way you can have meat on Fridays.
I love loopholes.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Mourn again, M-O-U-R-N, mourn again, which is what rubbed me wrong way about this is it's kind of seems like it's setting itself up to use a cross as a giant sledgehammer.
When you woke okay. that Thursday morning. Oh, LSB, you're so wonderful.
But where because there is this idea where I think in some circles where Good Friday is the whole point of it is where we're supposed to mourn, just no different than the way the Roman Church would understand the sacrifice of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus continues to make sacrifice. Now, we're not talking about, certainly we mourn for our sin, but we don't. When you contemplate on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're not heaping coals. He did it in love for you.
Right. You're not mourning him as you mourn a loved one who's passed away. It's not a funeral.
Right. Right.
Well, and maybe that's what people should go and read is Luther's How to Contemplate on Christ's Suffering and Death.
Yeah.
Where is that, Vicar? Do you know where that is?
I think it's in a list. There's a list of all of what's in Luther's works, and I think it's in there.
I printed off those ones for people to read. There's like a nice PDF version of it that you can find. And I actually do have the vicar read that before Holy Week a lot of times. I'll remember that, hey, do you know how sometimes, hey, you should look into this sometimes just to help you focus.
Yeah, we did this also with Steadfast Press. We did a bunch of our Lenten devotions on a spiritual contemplation of Christ's sufferings. So if people are interested, look that up.
Yeah. But yeah. The whole point I'm trying to make is I don't think that's helpful to have and now think about this. This is an entire Lenten series on mourning.
M-O-U-R-N?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you get that much traction out of it. Like, you've got Jesus talking to the women, you know, don't mourn for me, but mourn for yourselves.
Right, and you have blessed are those who mourn.
But otherwise, it gets kind of...
It's the virtue of just being sad, which is what some people like.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like having like a six-week-long funeral for Jesus. I don't know. We don't even do that for our loved ones.
Yeah, sometimes we even rejoice, right?
Amen, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Number 8,
40 days and 40 nights. Okay. The emphasis, I believe, on the 40 nights is one of dealing with the two becoming one flesh. So, yeah, the 40 days of Lent and then the 40 nights of Lent.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Should that be number 1?
What?
So you're telling me this has nothing to do with baptism.
Right.
What?
I think you broke Berg.
Did I break you, Berg?
This, like...
All right. Do I need to do a real talk on this?
If you want, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, Peter, real talk.
Real talk.
I mean, no one wants to hear this from the pastor. I mean, no one, right? Do you know how I know this, Vicar? Because the producer's mother and I once bumped into a couple of members at Walmart, and guess what happened? Well, Walmart lingerie was hanging in the cart.
Oops.
Right? It took 3 weeks for anyone with that last name that goes to the church to look me in the eyes. And it took another 3 weeks for a couple of them to stop winking at me at the grocery store.
Oh, strawberries, huh?
Yeah. And it left the pastor so triggered that he was relegated to going to Walmart.com and pray with eschatological fever that the small town delivery system would not put your Walmart.com box on the wrong porch. Especially when you live on an Avenue Drive. There's a difference between Avenue and Avenue Drive, people. It's been that way for 80 years. 40 days and 40 nights. No one wants to hear that from their pastor. No one does. It should come, I believe, from the almost retired gym teacher who taught ninth grade boys how to murder each other with hockey sticks.
I'm into that.
Who wore gas station aviators while describing football players in gym class in horse terms. You know, Falkenster needs a real stallion. Berkemeyer wields a hockey stick like a Clydesdale. Miller's a real thoroughbred, just like his father, who carried us to state before he fought for our country in Nam. That is who should be teaching us this stuff, not the pastor. You want to learn from the guy who jingles his keys in his 4-inch Ensign polyester bike-branded shorts under his sweatpants, bearing the mascot of the thoroughbred he coaches. It should come from that teacher who tells winsome stories about the barmaid in the small town of Wisconsin that he grew up in, who used to make a mean old-fashioned until untreated syphilis left her so confused that she couldn't tell the difference between a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer and a Michelob, between a Hams from a Leinenkugel's before Leinenkugel's got a little too big for their britches. It should come from the gym teacher who would compare everything in that class and the whole process to his real love of food. Like the day he described an ovum, I took the under, the easy favorite, minus 400 on egg. No, I lost because he chose cheese ball. So I lost that money, but I happily went hungry without my lunch that day because I learned what I needed to learn, not from my pastor, but from the gym teacher. So he could be the one that teaches me about 7-layer salad, chicken cacciatore, roller hot dogs, and tater tots without having to hear my confession from a scared and confused freshman struggling to sing tenor one in choir because he couldn't quite hit those low notes. And by the way, even if the pastor did a bang up job at that sermon series, even if the pastor could come up with 40
job.
Even if the pastor could come up with 40 straight nights, 40 things that we've never heard of or never thought about, wouldn't that be worse, Vicar?
I wouldn't want to be there for that.
What would happen is people would double the amount of meetings because obviously the pastor has a little bit too much leisure time in his life. So, I understand the listener might be a little tired of the fourth midweek Lenten series on the Lord's Supper, or the third midweek Lenten series on the Lord's Prayer, or the fourth midweek service on baptism, or even if the sounds of the passion is at least better, because it's the kind of passion you're supposed to be hearing about in church from your pastor. That is all.
Well done. Good job.
So don't do that.
Yes.
Vicar,
don't do that.
Don't do that.
I'll put that on the list.
Put that on the list. What did you learn?
Not to do that.
Boy, imagine being
no
it's bad
sounds
enough
of the passion.
Hearing that from a pastor. Can you imagine hearing that from a vicar?
I bet some poor schmuck somewhere has tried that.
Right. You think so?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure somebody has, yeah.
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 Yeah. From a vicar who just started kissing a girl 3 weeks ago. That's what we need. All right. Yeah. So don't do that. Did I say enough? Is there a way to redeem that? 40 days and 40 nights?
No.
Yeah, make it about something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to redeem that.
Yep. Exactly.
Talk in more general terms.
Don't do that.
How about this? How about this? We do you include pre-Lent Lenten services, right?
Okay.
So it'd be like 21 days and 40 days.
So 40 days and 21 nights.
There you go. Yeah. Something like that. I think it proves my point. All right.
I mean, before they meet God, like, they're not supposed to go toward their women. Wash their clothes. Don't go to your wives, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what David says when he goes to the tabernacle and eats the showbread, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like 40 days of abstinence.
Hey, now let's not get out of hand.
But I mean, yeah, this is almost kind of a real talk for me too. It's like, why do pastors have to do everything? We shouldn't have to teach this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Mom, dad, step up. Or gym class, whatever your name is.
Yeah. By the way, most of that was real.
I could tell.
The
experience that came through your voice was, it was
a cheese ball. Tell. Yeah. Everyone was thinking egg. He went with cheese ball.
Good for him. You know, way to think outside the box. Just like all these sermons. So, should we move on?
Let's move on. Moving on.
Number 7.
Hearing the voice of God.
Okay. I could see this.
Well, yeah. Well, obviously, we know how, as Lutherans, what direction we would take that. But how would you, like, if we were going to do our spin on that, it would be what? Office of the keys,
mm-hmm.
the authority of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would just try to stick with like the Sermon on the Mount, maybe break that up. Hearing the voice of God. Or you could do the seven words from the cross or whatever, you know? That's usually done at Traore services. You could probably, you know, kind of combine, mix and match some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But I think, when I hear it, I think of more from a Pentecostal way. Like
a secret sensitive.
Listen, God is calling. Right, like
ministry kind of thing.
Right.
Your favorite hymn from the seminary. Thanks, LSB. You did a great job.
I thought that was in TLH, Berg.
No. Listen, God is calling is not in TLH.
The hymns that slap, right?
I don't know what that means, but maybe.
Bangers, you know. All right.
It's a bop, as the kids say.
All I'm thinking is bangers and mash here. So.
All right. A listener, help Berg out. Give us an email.
Please don't.
Number 6.
Animals telling the story of Jesus.
What?
I hate.
Oh, is this going to be like the donkey that Jesus rode in on? And,
right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, and they're probably going to be like, look, the cow that was by the manger. It doesn't say there was a cow there. How do you know there's a cow there?
Well, they could have the scapegoat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I've been driven out into the wilderness. I bear all the sins of the people. My life sucks until I die.
Right. Right. Yeah, imagine this, like, because most of the animals are gruesome stories, right?
Right.
Right. So everyone coming because, let's go to Lent. We love animals. Great. Yeah, God cut them open and made clothes for people. You love donkeys, right? Oh, yeah, everybody loves donkeys. Well, guess what happened to this one? What happened to the scapegoat? Excuse me, not the donkey.
What happened to lambkins?
Yeah, like so many sacrifices, the water literally turned red. Yeah. So I guess most of the animals, that doesn't work out so well.
I mean, you have a giant fish throwing up, you know.
There you go.
So never turns out well for the animals.
Number 5.
Because this is going to be fast. Because I promised someone very dear to me I wouldn't talk about this. The story.
What is it, the story?
Story, you know, the movie.
No.
I've not heard of this.
Is it the story? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Are you talking about the never ending story?
No.
Yes. It's like, I'd rather watch that.
All right. Rather than describe, say what's going on, let's just
Move on.
Move on.
I love to tell the story.
Number four.
Roll down justice. I'm not sure what roll down means. Vicar, can you find...
Yeah, there's a biblical reference.
It just makes me think of a desk.
It's about let justice roll down like something or other. Here, let me find it here. While I'm looking for that, you can talk.
Well, because I doubt this is really describing the justice of the cross. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Right? It's more about social justice, I imagine.
Most likely. It's from Amos chapter 5.
Yeah, there we go. 5:24.
But I don't really how do you get like 5-6 midweek services on?
Well, it says, and let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So you could talk about, you know, because if you look at the context here, that basically God hates their feast days, their sacred assemblies. You know, you're not like, you're doing these sacrifices, but you don't actually believe in me.
Yeah, it's all judgment. I mean, it starts out with, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, right? It's going to be judgment upon people. So it's kind of weird that he would go with that.
Well, you see, and that's the thing is the social justice people really love that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like, there is something to be said about that. Like, I mean, Lent is a time of justice and righteousness. So have one text that calls us out and one text that where you actually see repentance and faith, right?
Right, right.
Now, of course, the righteousness they're talking about is the righteousness, you know, human righteousness, right? But it is also a call to faith, like, because you can only do justice and you can only have or possess righteousness if you have faith, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So,
I mean, you could talk about different things or, you know, parse that chapter of Amos out.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Number three.
Lent, a journey towards liberation.
Just the word, fine. The background, not so great.
Right.
Because what is liberty or what is, you know, freedom?
Yeah, freedom brought by the gospel. The truth will set you free.
Right,
yeah,
freedom
exactly.
From sin.
Freedom from sin, right? This doesn't mean like freedom from systemic racism or from corrupt institutions or even slavery. I mean, you could actually do a lot of things like, look, the gospel isn't some revolutionary rolling machine that just, you know, or bulldozer that just crushes everything in its path.
Mm-hmm.
Like what it does, the gospel is the righteousness of the heart. It leaves the state, the family, and the like intact and in fact supports and, you know, so this could actually be a great text to talk about, like, oh, you know, what about slavery? What about corrupt governments? What about, you know, does the gospel set you free from obeying your parents?
Right.
Or from, you know, for you to do whatever you want, right? You could do Romans 6. You could do, you know, a lot of different things, right?
But it, you know, it's one of those things where as Lutherans, especially as pastors, when I come across these, we always have to say, okay, my Lenten series is on what this doesn't mean. You know,
yeah, that's really helpful.
Right.
Well, but I think people want to know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, people have these same questions, right? Okay, Jesus has set me free. Free to do what? Free to sin?
Yeah, I think.
You know, free from my family, free from the government so I can go start my own little militia and, you know.
I mean, Paul would say, by no means. Right?
Well, I mean, like, wasn't this the problem with the peasants' revolt? Didn't they turn the gospel into a worldly, fleshy thing that then led them to destruction and death? People have these questions. I'm fine talking about what a thing isn't. I love talking about what things aren't.
Do you want to hear a funny story? So I was at a dinner way back when one of my children won like the state competition for the Daughters of the American Revolution, where they wrote a paper and they wouldn't win. They'd, you know, the local, and then they win like a state competition. And so we were at this dinner and people thought we were members. You know, my history doesn't, this country doesn't go that far back. And someone asked me about how am I related to the forefathers of the revolution. I said, no, I'm more of a son of the peasants' revolt. It went by.
Ah.
So, not necessarily funny, but...
But I mean, especially today, right? I mean, because people use Galatians all the time to say, you know, there is neither, you know, Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we don't explain what that means and what it doesn't mean, well, why can't a man be a woman? There's no male or female.
Not understanding that the whole passage is talking about salvation.
Right. But I mean, our people are afflicted with this all the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, that was one of the bigger things that they would talk about for women's ordination is that passage.
Exactly.
As though that passage was talking about women's ordination in any way.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing is people get deceived by that. And so... So I'm all about, well, and we should be teaching more and more and more because what are they being taught when they watch TV? What are they being taught when they, you know, buy Bud Light? Your buddy Dylan Mulvaney, right?
My buddy?
Your super duper friend.
Yeah.
Number two.
I think Berg actually might like this part of it, but part of it you won't. A Lenten series entitled Rules for Fasting. Rules? That kind of defeat the purpose. What do you think about that Lenten series on rules for fasting?
It's certainly fine outward training, right?
Right.
And training requires rules, right? I mean, when you go to the gym, right? You have...
Right.
If you lift the weights any way you want, you're going to... break things or tear things or hurt yourself.
Right, or kind of like if I see Vicar in the Freak Factory not putting full effort, I have to say something, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, you could do, like, what does fasting look like?
Right.
What does prayer look like? What does almsgiving look like?
Yeah.
You know,
but the rules for fasting gives an impression that you're doing this in a way to earn favor
with God.
Like
if
it's right, it's like a rule. This is something you have to follow. This is this is our rules for fasting.
So it's not like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, they be
more like guidelines.
And number one.
Now this one is I'm not sure where this was came from or it's going, but imagine this is a Lenten series I found and is entitled "An Introduction to My History with Death."
This sounds a little too autobiographical.
Right. Yeah.
Part one. It all started when I was born.
Right. Yeah. It has instead of a pulpit, there's like one of those lounge couches.
When I was conceived in the womb,
that's right.
In the watery darkness, I felt the spectral hands of death.
It started out with a cheese ball, really.
So what was it called again?
An Introduction to My History with Death.
Well,
I think it maybe, if I remember correctly, it had a little bit to do with mental illness.
Oh, well.
Well, you could talk about the different kinds of death.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I think that would be great. Like, talk about physical death and then talk about spiritual death in unbelievers. You could talk about...
baptismal death.
Right. You could talk about death in believers that, you know, we die with Jesus. We die to the world. We die to our sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about
whoever wants to
death.
save his life must lose it.
Exactly. So that I think one that like if you want it to be kind of spicy, I guess you could entitle it God's History with Death.
Right, or our history. But if it's like,
yeah, it was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. Like you could have that as your hymn. You know,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, but it was the whole my history. Ooh.
It's almost like she's about to introduce she because it kind of sounds like a like something a female pastor would do. But it sounds like something somebody might, like they're introducing their friend or something, like, here's an introduction to so-and-so. Right. Let me tell you all about him.
Well, hey, Vicar, did I ever tell you about the one of the nightmares I had as a pastor, like first pastor?
No, what's that?
So this is a dream I had, okay? So in this dream, the kids and I were, I was taking the kids, because the kids were little, right, trick-or-treating, and right. I dressed up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to dress up as a Grim Reaper, okay? This is my dream.
Okay.
And then in that dream, I get an emergency call to the hospice house.
Oh, no.
And I forgot to change in this dream. And like the family was mad. The nurses were mad at how insensitive I was coming as a Grim Reaper to the hospice house. It scarred me. So, go ahead, Vicar Berg.
So I got a better one. You could have a sermon series on this. If you die before you die, you won't die when you die.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
It's a better title.
Yeah. If you die before you die, then you won't die when you die. Oh. Right? Because if you die spiritually to sin before you mm-hmm. physically die, then you're not going to die the second death when you physically die.
Ah. Dan, you know, I think our super fan needs to make that into a metal song.
Yeah. He can do it.
Yep. We believe in you.
All right.
No,
well,
we don't believe in you.
That's true.
So, some real talk here. I hate what they've done to the Nicene Creed. They've put in.
Believe in the church.
Yeah. We don't believe in the church. We believe the church. I know I've brought this up time and time again, but we should just go to all of our hymnals and scratch that little part out. Okay? We don't believe in the church. The end.
Well, unless you're referring to like the building, right? We're here.
Yeah, I believe the church exists.
We are in the church and we believe.
I am a believer in the church.
Right.
That's
outside. Well,
yeah.
All right. All right. Do we have anything else? We should get to our emails.
It's 1 hour and 13 minutes I have, so.
And he'll have a little bit. That's probably enough. We have lots of emails to get to, and we'll have to get to those next time. Otherwise, Peter will be upset with us. We will end the show here. Thank you for listening. This is Bullhagen.
This is Berg.
And this is Vicar.
And may your death not be death when your death comes.
Thank you for joining us. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Questions, thoughts, concerns? You can contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/clericalerrorspodcast, on Twitter at clericalerrorsp for podcast, or email us at feedback@clericalerrors.org. Thanks for listening to Clerical Errors. See you next time.
All right. All right.
All right. Or, may your cheese balls be awesome.
Be accompanied with knights. All right. Peter, keep that all in.